to the Puck Guys Podcast, the best place for top hockey news and insight with, of course, a little West Coast bias. Now, here are your hosts, Patrick Mahoney and Jason Lamb.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode, a Stanley Cup final episode of the Puck Guys Podcast.
Potentially last one of the season, depending on how the next two games go.
See, say that is confusing. It's like we're not going to do a show.
Fine. The NHL season.
Like we probably should have done one in between game one or game two and game three.
Yeah.
Done it like right in the middle of the home and home. Yeah. But we didn't do it.
Not all of us can just stay at home like you, Pat.
I know. It's a tough life. Tough life. Having no money and staying at home is pretty sweet.
It's economy. Thanks, Obama.
Yeah. So I finally get a job and they're like, yeah, we're going to start you in 22 days. And I was like, why?
Can we just fast forward?
Well, I mean, I don't like. I mean, I like the idea of staying home, but
yeah, right.
No money's kind of a problem.
Yeah, like it's a little annoying, but congratulations in order for your daughter, too.
Yep.
Yeah, getting on the Lady Ducks, right?
Yeah, she made the travel team again this year, so she's pretty stoked about it.
Awesome.
She's never seen a kid more nervous in my life. So nervous about it.
That's when you know they care, because if they don't care, it's whatever. All right, yeah. Well, if I make it, I do. I don't. So that's cool. She's way into it and glad she made the team.
Yeah, hockey's back in our family, which is nice. Yes. Right in time with me getting a job. So it's like extra. No extra money.
Oh, wah. Finally got the money. Can't pay it off.
That's the way it goes. So the Stanley Cup Final's been pretty dang exciting.
Yeah.
Except for...
Easy with that salty language there.
I know.
Pretty dang.
It's not as exciting as game one. Game one was pretty crazy, and then game two had crazy moments.
Yeah. I feel like there's good moments in all the games, and there are exciting moments in all the games. But yeah, that first game was where everyone maybe thought there might be a little bit of a slow feeling out process. It was just everyone just go. everyone go. Let's just do what we can do and – you know, see where we can tighten it up in the following games. But if you were thinking a goalie duel was going to happen, which it seemed like it might be, both of those guys are Conn Smythe candidates for the playoffs here, you didn't get that. It got the opposite.
In game one, yeah. score change. I mean, every single time a team would score minutes later, the other team would come back and score again. Yeah. It would just, no one could get away from it. It was what everyone talked about as being like the purest hockey game possible, questionable hits, and then you're talking about questionable calls or non-calls, and then the goal scoring that was going on.
Even good goaltending, even though, you know, a lot of goals went in, it was still good goaltending all the way around.
But as we sit today, the Caps lead the series 2-1. Mm-hmm. They split Vegas and then won their home game in Washington. But before we get to anything coming up in the future, we've got to talk about their pregame stuff in Vegas. That's what everyone's been talking about.
All right, you didn't say we were
going to
talk about
it. Now we're almost like a week late because now we're getting to what happened during game one. But no one knew really what to expect other than it was going to be over the top because it's Vegas. But yeah, Little John performing across the street outside the arena.
Yep.
Thousands of people show up to that.
Yeah,
Vegas is getting ready. Pretty cool they do stuff like that, right? They don't get some cheesy, I don't know, I think they got a Nickelback or something like the league would want to have.
Or a Carrie Underwood.
Or somebody. Yeah, something like that. Little John was perfect for Vegas, perfect for the team.
And he's constantly at games, too. So, I mean, he's always there. He's a supporter anyway, so might as well kind of not only go with him, but then, and even game two, Imagine Dragons, one of my favorite.
Not a favorite of mine.
You're
not
like him?
No.
I can't hate anything that has dragons in the name.
Of course not. They're close to a dinosaur.
If it's dinosaurs or dragons, I'm already in.
Sold.
Pretty much.
Favorite movies? Dragonheart.
Yes. Jurassic Park.
I know. But so beyond the concert, then you get inside and they have this whole Knights of the Round Table, medieval times kind of thing, which I think was cool.
This is where we differ big time.
I mean, shooting a catapult was pretty badass. Firing arrows was cool.
Arrows.
It was still cool. They had a really cool, and then they had the knights, and he comes down and fights the Capitals player.
Yeah,
or
whatever that was. But it was it was like a cloak and daggers. Like, they were like five. Kind of like Lord of the Rings, where you had the ring wraiths. They're just like all shrouded, and you don't quite know who's what and who's going on and all that other stuff. But this bugs me, and it bugged me from the beginning. When they first, in the first round against the Kings, they do this whole long intro. Don't get me wrong. I don't care if a team does that for their fans, to pump up their fans before a game. Tons of teams do that, and I get it. I don't understand why there is this need or incessant need to put it on the broadcast. I don't need to see it. I don't care. It looks cheesy. It's dumb. It just prevents me from watching hockey. It's now an extra 10 minutes until puck drop because I got to watch this stupid.
I think it's more like 25 minutes.
Oh, so cheese.
Yeah.
So I must just go into a blind rage for 15 of those minutes, and then I come back and say, it's still on. But I just, it's cheesy. Just don't broadcast it. Just jump into the broadcast right before the puck drop, not the 10 minutes so of
you don't have a problem
acting.
With it. You have a problem that it's
broadcasting and everyone's going, they know how to throw a party. They're in this entertainment right here. They're doing it right. And I'm like, it's boring as crap. And most teams have some sort of little gimmicky thing where their mascot comes out and does some other little thing or whatever. This one just seems to be getting all the praise, and it sucks. Unless you're there and you're pumped. If you're pumped and a Vegas fan, then I get it. Other than that, it's boring as crap. It does not translate well on TV. I don't know if it's any more entertaining over there, but I don't know. It's just like it's one of those things. Oh, yeah, let's, you know, it's entertaining to people from Iowa who've never seen a hockey pregame. They go, wow, they're going all out here. It's like, well, no, they got a guy skating around pretending to fight somebody else.
I mean, it's cool when they play like the quotes. They talk about, they use players' voice, like they use like people who doubted them or whatever. Like they play the Drew Doughty clip
one all the time. Yeah,
The Connor Hellebuck one, I think, was another one they put in there too from the playoffs.
I just don't like where they're doing like an opera or it's, you know, a play and you have the actors and the villain and this and that. Like, it's just, if you do it, fine. Just don't broadcast NBC because they always end up doing it. And then, like, even they must get bored because then they cut to what other players are doing in the tunnels. And the players are just sitting there stretching, just waiting for them to go out. They're bored. They want to get the game going. It just seems bored all the way around except for the people who are there and then the idiots who don't really know what goes on hockey games because it's not anything new that they're doing.
So if they did it, like, at 4:45, puck drops at 5. Cool. Broadcast it then. I don't have to tune in. If I know I can turn on the TV at 5 o'clock and it's like they're cleaning it up and it's going to be puck drop, I'm fine with it.
Maybe the only way I can see this being okay is that they, for the newer fans, the casual fans that don't really care about getting as in-depth in hockey, but me personally, I would rather hear what the pundits or the announcers have to say leading up to puck drop and then drop the puck. I don't want to see whatever's happening over there. It's not entertaining to me, and so I've got 15 or 25 minutes to kill before the hockey actually starts.
Oh, whatever.
But I guess other people who don't really care all about those stats.
Or Mike Buffer announcing
lines.
The names like WWF.
Yeah.
It was pretty cool.
Yeah.
When they did all the players' names.
That was all right.
That was cool.
It was cool.
I mean, even Matt Bieleski retweeted it and said like Dream or whatever, like his Dream announcement into the league or something like that.
Yeah, well, you can't beat Peter Sajak.
Pat Sajak.
I would say Pete. Pat.
I don't know
Sajak.
Why.
I don't know why.
Oh, he did the ones yesterday for the Capitals.
Capitals.
I missed that. It didn't seem entertaining to me.
It wasn't. It wasn't. He came out and basically just said, oh, yeah, we're longtime season ticket holders. I don't know where they even film Wheel of Fortune. I thought it'd be in L.A.
Maybe.
Anyway, so he just came out.
He's a baller, so he just really flies to L.A. and then flies back to wherever he's at.
Absolutely. So that one, you know, whatever, but there was no pregame or anything like that as far as the, you know, spectacle of it or whatever it was.
Did they have someone play at the intermission or something? I didn't catch it.
No, not really.
They didn't have any band on TV?
Not in the opening from what I saw.
Interesting.
So, yeah.
Interesting. So, yeah, it's like it's only Vegas.
Yeah, it's pretty much Vegas or teams do it and then NBC doesn't care unless
you're
Vegas.
Your sweet Golden Knights.
Yeah.
So let's get off and away from those. We got to talk about game one.
Uh-huh.
The biggest thing that happened in that was the controversial game one hit by Tom Wilson on Jonathan Marchessault.
Mm-hmm.
No penalty. Or no, it was a penalty on the play. 2 minutes of interference.
It was,
if I understand right.
Yeah, there was no initial penalty.
Right.
And then whatever happened afterwards, then they kind of blew it dead. And then they gave a penalty to Tom Wilson for the hit. And I think they called it interference. So, yeah, this one had a bit of controversy. And it's kind of figuring out what the rules are. And that is, how much time after the player releases the puck are you allowed to make
like
a hit?
Like 0.8 seconds is when you hit him, right?
Yeah, so, and that falls within the rules. So, you know, close, and he probably could have let up if he wanted to. It looked like he was like, oh, I got a chance to hit him. But he didn't make contact with the head. Yeah, he came from the blind side, but there is no penalty or suspendable rule for that anymore. So you can hit a guy from there. You just can't make contact with the head, and you got to do it within a certain amount of time, 0.8 seconds or something like that.
Did you have a problem with it?
It looked really bad. I wanted to say just because of who he is and the fact that he's already been suspended, it would seem like that would make sense. But if you break it down, he really didn't break any rules. So you can't. I mean, it looks bad, and the guy has a history of doing that.
It's a predatory hit, for sure.
Yeah,
he was looking to freight train a guy.
And they target the best player, and I don't have a problem with you targeting someone as long as you don't hit the head or, you know, you don't hit him into the boards or something where you're obviously breaking a rule, something like that. It's just a good, clean hit, and Marchessault did look at his pass.
It's not clean. It's late.
No, not technically. I mean, they gave him a penalty, but not suspension.
But it's late.
He could have let up.
He got an interference call. It's a late hit.
But not at first. I think all the refs and the linesmen had to all get together and then try and figure out if it was late or not. I mean, that's as borderline as you're going to get with it. And they gave him a 2 minute for it. And there's just nothing to suspend.
I felt like he should have got a 5 for the interference. Nah. Marchessault had to go to the quiet room. Missed a good chunk of that game.
Came back.
Came back. But you don't have to get hit in the head to get a concussion. And that's...
No, you don't. But you can't go every time someone gets a concussion because you shoulder him up and his head hit the ice.
But there was just no reason for him to hit him. There was zero reason for him to
it's
make
hockey.
That hit. Sure. But he didn't have the puck.
He just got rid of the puck.
He had, dude, if you watch the play when he got hit, like the puck was already down up along the boards somewhere else. There was no need for Wilson to make that hit. He wasn't in a scoring area. That was my problem. He's not in a scoring area.
Yeah.
He's not a scoring threat. He doesn't have the puck, so you're not making the hit to separate him from the puck. You're just hitting him because you're Tom Wilson.
Yeah, hitting him because it's hockey, and you're going to try and punish the
team.
Who
else makes that hit?
At any given moment,
no one
anybody.
Makes those hits.
Oh, yes.
No.
Capelli could do
Tom
that.
No.
Oh, yeah, he would absolutely
do
that.
No one else makes those hits.
Open ice hits. You don't get a whole lot of opportunity in it, and he was just making a hit on their top player. I don't have as big of a problem as apparently you
do
with it.
Because I feel like there's just no need. There was no need for it.
There's no need to actually really ever hit anybody. You could just stick check and just, you know, try and poke the puck away.
Oh, well, no.
The whole time.
Making a body check to separate a player from the puck. That's what the whole intent of it is.
Yeah.
His intent there was like, I'm going to hit an unsuspecting guy who has no idea I'm coming.
It's not his fault. Marchessault was still looking back.
So what, you're gonna catch him? So you're gonna use the whole he was staring at his pass too
he
long?
He kind of was. I mean, don't get me wrong here. Predatory hit, but he didn't break any rules. It's within the game for him to do that, and they obviously felt that it was maybe a little bit late. Not necessarily that the hit was a roughing. I mean, if it was something where he hit them or he hit Marchessault, and it had nothing to do with the play whatsoever, and it was just something off to the side, then that would be a roughing penalty if it was excessive hitting. I guess is what you would say. His was they deemed interference.
If they would have gave him a 5, I would have been fine with it. Yeah. And been done and not said he probably should have got a suspension. And I'm borderline on that because I don't know if you can't just suspend a guy for everything.
Yeah, you can't look at it.
But
well,
I feel like
bad.
That penalty probably should have been a 5. It should have been a major for interference. And if Marchessault's hurt on that play, you know it is. Yeah. If he would have had, if he would have fell awkwardly into the boards or slid into the boards or done something, he would have got hurt. They're giving him a 5. And then he probably would have got suspended because the league loves to do that whole thing. Well, was he hurt on the play?
Yeah.
Okay, idiot. Like, if you hit somebody with your car and they don't get hurt.
Yeah. We're good then.
Yeah, we're good. No, you're fine. Yeah, don't call my insurance company. Everything's fine there.
I think they usually just use that as to add on another one. So if they go, all right, we're going to suspend him. All right, now was there an injury? Okay, there was. We're adding another game onto that.
I still love George Parros, but my God, this Department of Player Safety crap. So that was about the most exciting thing that was, I guess...
Besides all the goals.
Oh, well, yeah, the goal changes thing were crazy. But in game one, we're talking about a week ago now, but we had to talk about the Wilson hit.
Yep.
Game two, you're talking about the McNabb hit on Kuznetsov that people were upset about, which I don't understand why.
Me neither. Looked like a good hit to me. Used his back.
And I mean, his forearm came up a little bit.
Yeah, kind of rode up a little bit. But, within a Stanley Cup Finals, there's going to be physicality. There's going to be hits. And there was, once again, I just look, was there illegal? Is it contact to the head? There really wasn't. He hurt his hand or his wrist or something like that.
It looked really bad the way he reacted, but I watched that replay like 6 times. I couldn't figure out where he got hurt or how he got hurt.
Well, he kept holding his hand when he went down.
Yeah, it was his hand. Like maybe his wrist got jammed or something like that.
Yeah, it was weird. His hand kind of got stuck in between McNabb's butt and his chest or something like that and kind of went down. But, I didn't think there was anything wrong with that hit. You know, like I said, used his back, and I want to see more of those types of hits happen where guys are going like almost backwards into people.
Oh, the Cronwall?
Those are the ones that
kill
people, and there's nothing illegal about it.
That happened in game 3. We'll get to it in a bit.
Yeah.
But, I mean, in game 2 still, we can't dance around this any longer. The save, as Pierre McGuire said it.
You know what they're going to be calling this?
The save.
The save.
So descriptive. And,
he's an idiot.
Yeah. I mean, it gets to the point, doesn't waste time. It is literally two words that describe what happened.
Like, congratulations, sir.
Not the miraculous save. He's got to do it off the top of his head, and it's a shiny head. So
very true.
Yeah.
And he's always, and it's hard for him to add more content in his head because he still loves Sidney Crosby so much.
Yeah, right.
That he had to, like, that's the only two words that are able to enter his brain.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, oh, it's a save that Crosby would do if he was a goalie.
Yeah. He's like, I'll just call it the save. Let's just leave Sid out of it. So the Knights go up 6-4 in game one. Game two, they fall 3-2, and mostly because of Alex Tuch. He's a great player. Had a game that just sometimes it doesn't go your way. He ends up taking a cross-checking penalty, just unnecessary cross-checking penalty away from the play, and results in Alex Ovechkin scoring on the ensuing power play. Then Brooks Orpik, who hasn't scored in, oh my god, how many days? It was something ridiculous.
It was since like December.
I have the stats. So right, Stanley Cup Finals, 116 goals. Alex Ovechkin has scored between Brook Orpik's goals.
That's going over 2 years then, right?
It's got to be.
Yeah, last year is the last time he must have scored.
I just couldn't believe when I saw that. I was like, he scored that many in between.
Well, then again, he did have 49. Are they counting playoffs? I think they would.
They're just saying goals. Yeah. So Ovi put up that many in between Orpik's goals, but the reason why that's significant is because Alex Tuch had it deflect off like his elbow or his knee or something like that, right?
Yeah, and then just inside post and just inside the other post. So it's unfortunate. You have those games. It kind of sucks.
And then he gets the wide-open crazy bounce off the boards for Holtby, 2-on-1, and he's able to have an entire 4x6 essentially staring at him in the face, and Holtby puts the stick on it.
Yeah, I mean, you couldn't ask for anything better for that setup. It was kind of just a turnover that was going to work out beautifully for Vegas to tie it up late. And from a goalie's perspective, I'm saying there's almost no skill involved with what Holtby did. It was literally that pass went across, and then he can see the guy. I'm just throwing my stick over. Whatever, I'm just hoping it hits. I'm not trying to judge where he might go with it. And Tuck did the right thing. I mean, he got it and
all
just
one
flung
motion.
It. Like, I mean, you don't sit there and think about it and give a goalie a time to come over or someone to get a stick on. You just throw it, and, you know, the odds are in your favor unless you hit him right in the stick. And, you know, credit to Holtby, because he could have, like, that pass could have happened, and he could have just watched and gone like, ah, crap, it's over there, and then not done anything. But that instinctual, I got to get over, and then just move, and then happen to put in the right spot. There's no better feeling when that happens. I wouldn't know in a Stanley Cup Finals, but I'm sure it's amplified more than I've ever done in just my crappy beer leagues. But
I mean, Alex Tuch, people were on him about that online, saying, "Why don't you lift the puck?" You know, like, dude, you don't get it. Like, he's moving, it's happening really fast, and that puck, it looks like it was bouncing all over the place, and he just wherever he caught it, just didn't lift.
And even if he did, I mean, it could have been that he could have put it higher, and Holtby may have come across with the stick even higher than what it was. It just happened to be where that shot was, is exact same time as when Holtby put it there. There was no thought process, which you're not supposed to do. You just throw it at the net. The odds are greatly in your favor, but this time the house loses
3-2. I don't know, man. If they get that goal and it goes to overtime, there's a great chance Vegas wins that in OT.
And they're up 2-0 going out to Washington.
Different series.
Absolutely. So far, it's kind of the turning point, because ever since then, Holtby has been a beast. A whole beast, with the exception of a goal in Game 3 that he caused. Other than that, he's been absolutely lights out, as well as the Capitals players and team.
You know. So going on to Game 3, series tied 1-1 back in Washington. As you mentioned earlier, Pat Sajak with the player interviews.
Oh, how is Peter?
The Caps thoroughly outplayed the Knights in Game 3. Yeah. And that's pretty much how this game went. I mean, I don't know what else to say other than you want to talk about Alex Tuch having a bad game. Shea Theodore for the Knights had a really bad game in Game 3 that caused a lot of issues for a couple of goals.
And I would think, you know, with the way this series is gone, Vegas, in particular this game, Vegas is starting to look tired. They still get their chances, and when they get their chances, they look dangerous really quick. But Washington was faster than them this game. And I don't know if it's just that one game or if this is kind of that lead up with all those Tom Wilson hits that are starting to kind of maybe wear down on this Vegas team.
When is Reeves and Wilson going to brawl, by the way?
If Wilson's smart, he's going to keep avoiding that until he has to.
Because I think there was an audio clip that the NHL actually put out. It was Reeves. It was like, Reeves. Oh, really? Yeah. What are you going to do?
Exactly. Yeah. I don't think even as big of a boy as Tom Wilson is, I don't think he wants to get into that with Reeves. But this Vegas team defense, and you know, will probably end up making mistakes individually. And Tador was kind of that catalyst a little bit in Game 3. It was his turnover off a broken stick. He just chose to make a different play than he probably should have. His stick broke at the point trying to get a shot. I think it went straight to Beagle, the forward in front of him. But instead of, you know, starting to skate back and trying to be another defenseman back there, even without a stick, at least you're in the way. He tries to go at Beagle with no stick while Beagle has the puck. He just walks around him. And now it's a 3-on-1 going the other way. Beagle sets it up to Kuznetsov, and Kuznetsov put on quite a shot.
Yeah, who didn't miss any time, I mean, in Game 3. Even he missed the rest of Game 2, comes back in Game 3. I mean, he had to have broke his wrist or something. He looked like he was in a lot of pain, or he's sprained pretty bad.
Probably sprained it pretty bad. Yeah, is my guess. And then, yeah, able to tape it up, take some shots, whatever is needed in the Stanley Cup Finals. But then back to Theodore, he made the mistake on the third goal in the third period. He's going back to get the puck. Had enough time. Tried to spin around and send the puck up the boards, but completely whiffs on it and tries to get it back. But the guy who is following him, I forget who it was. So that guy, well, let's see here. He assisted on the play. So let's see. Come on, stats.
I think it was Jay Beagle.
It was Beagle again. Beagle. So Beagle ends up getting it and then beats him and then throws it to Smith-Pelly. He's all alone in front and just kind of scores. So it's two turnovers that happened by Theodore, and he didn't do a really good job of responding to the mistake. And so this is where Vegas will kind of get exposed a little bit. Their defensemen on paper against pretty much all the teams they've played has been less than their opponent. They survive on the team defense, and that speed, that transition, and Fleury playing insane. That's a whole other thing. So Fleury has played well. I haven't seen anything really bad. He's far more aggressive right now. He seems to be out of his crease a lot more, but he usually is able to come back and make a save on a potential mistake. But it just doesn't seem like the forwards on Vegas are coming back nearly as much as they were earlier on and really kind of putting that pressure on. They're doing pretty good on the forecheck, but the backside pressure isn't nearly there like I saw in the other series. So that's gotta get fixed or they're done.
Let's comment on the goal that didn't happen in the beginning of the game, though.
Because
Smith-Pelly, quote-unquote, ran Marc-Andre Fleury.
I was going to say a Sisqó song. Thighs like... dump truck.
Oh, my God.
The thong song. So, anyways, that was my thought.
He tries to jump like in between.
He tries to set a screen. Right? Yeah, he tries to jump across to create some sort of havoc or, you know, a moving screen.
Hits right, Fleury right in the head.
Unfortunately, that big booty of his ends up hitting Fleury right in the mask, down and out. There's no way Fleury has a chance to make a save. Some people will say, well, Smith-Pelly wasn't in the crease. At the same time, Fleury wasn't out of the crease. He was in the crease, and so if his feet are in there, the onus is on the attacking forward to avoid contact.
Right.
He didn't make any effort to avoid it. Although he didn't intend to do it, he still made contact, and it prevented Fleury from making a save, which is why it's goalie interference. And that's been the rule for a while.
Some media pundits are like, oh, the NHL doesn't like goals.
My good buddy
Ken Campbell.
Yeah, some choice Twitter accounts didn't really kind of understand what the hell was happening there. But, it's not that it was egregious or anything, but he did make contact, and it's on Smith-Pelly to not do that. Fleury's got to be able to make the save, and he can't do that if someone's ass is, swiping across your mask.
So we got to talk about Ovechkin.
We don't have to, but
we have
to. Okay.
He's a beast. He's been playing lights out. Everyone who's been talking about him previous to the season about how he doesn't perform in the playoffs.
Done. The window's closed.
He's not that guy anymore. Yeah. He's not the 50 goal guy anymore. He's not going to perform for you in the playoffs. The guy's got 14 goals. I think he scored in every final game, or at least the last two. I know he has.
Yeah, I think he scored in the first one too.
I'll have to double check, but I'm pretty sure he did. So. And he put in, it was a diving goal last night in a scramble in front of Fleury, which, Fleury poor Fleury had to make like three or four saves before he even got a chance to shoot the puck.
Not even just saves where, like, you know, it was routine. I mean, these were all scrambling saves, you know, in his feet, in the pads, up high. I mean, he was making saves everywhere, and he almost got to the Ovechkin one, too. I think he actually got a piece of it, just not all of it. And it just goes back to, you know, that team relies so heavily on Fleury. I mean, when they can't get the puck out right in the middle of the slot and they get four chances or three chances for Washington, eventually they're going to go in. You got to play. You got to tighten up in front there, and they're just not doing it that game in particular.
So Ovi didn't have a goal in game one.
He didn't?
But okay. He has a goal in game two and three. He's got on the power play, and he had a goal last night.
He's got 14 for this postseason, which ties a franchise record. Yep. So, and I think, was it two more, and he ties Crosby for the most in kind of the modern era for goals in a playoff, right? Because wasn't Shifley following that?
I'll have to go and double check the stats on that one. But I know he's
16 or 18 or something like that.
I know that he definitely tied the club record. I know that was a stat they threw up. But so the question comes around then, with Fleury having a mediocre at worst to say about him final, would you still, I know I was high on giving him the MVP for the playoffs, regardless if he wins or loses this, or if Ovechkin takes over here, is there a possibility we see Ovi get it if Ovi keeps scoring at this clip and running around the way he is?
I mean, there's definitely a chance. It's very, 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 very rare that the losing team has a winner get the Conn Smythe, and generally that those finals have to go the distance. I mean, to game seven or, you know, six. But if Washington wins two more games and it's 5-1, even if Fleury plays out of his mind and, you know, they're 1-0 games, you almost gotta, it's definitely got to go to Washington, and Ovi's probably that leader. And you know how the NHL loves to give it to their superstars. So I imagine that Ovi would get it if this series wraps up in five or six games in Washington's favor. Then I would think that, yeah, he could easily do it. But if it goes game seven and Fleury, I wouldn't even say he's played mediocre. He's played good. The stats aren't quite there, but he's doing everything he can, and he is not getting a lot of support. The fact that these are 3-2, 3-1 games are actually a testament to how great he's been playing, because these games could be blowouts. And they're getting great chances early and often in games. He stoned Ovechkin, like one of the first plays in the game. That's a goalie who's just pulling his team through the playoffs. There's definitely no one on Vegas who's going to get the Conn Smythe other than Fleury. It just depends if they can go the distance.
It's unreal this Knights team was a team that beat the Winnipeg Jets.
Yeah.
Because you just see, I mean,
those are close games.
I wonder
too, if
that wore on them. Yeah. I wonder if that's, I mean, they wiped out the Jets in five.
Yeah.
It wasn't like that was a long, grinding series. That was five games. Yeah. I mean, and then Ovi went to seven with Tampa.
Yeah.
So that would, I mean, you'd figure that fatigue would be on both sides, but I kind of feel like the Caps are just going to keep coming and coming and coming. I don't see them slowing down. They didn't look tired last night at all.
Yeah, and that part of that could be that they got the pump up from the crowd, their first, you know, Stanley Cup final game in, was it 20 years?
It was the first Stanley Cup final win.
Yeah, ever.
Ever.
Well, no, technically second, because they won game two,
right,
but first
at
one at home.
Yeah, they've never won at home.
Yeah, so it's been good. Yes, they look good. They were quicker. They were the better team in that. The one thing, though, that I've noticed throughout this playoffs is what happens one game doesn't necessarily translate to the next game. And Vegas can wake up and realize, hey, if we lose one more game here, we're in a 3-1 hole. And we've lost three games
in
a row.
You're done.
You're pretty much done at that point. So this has to, it's a real cliche, but they really, it's a must win. If they don't, it's hard to see them overcome what Nashville's doing, because both of these teams have the mentality that they're destined. And it's just improbable as Vegas is. They just seem to win, and it seems like they're destined. All the adversity that Washington has had to deal with Ovechkin all the way up to here, they just seem like they are destined to do it. They've slain all the enemies or the demons that they've had to get to this point, and now they're beating the other team that seemed like they had the destiny of doing it. So
and you
it's
know,
tough to see who's
neither team
win
has had in the final, or actually, no, because the Caps lost Backstrom at some point in the playoffs. But the Knights haven't had a significant injury to a key player. I mean, they had Belmare from the hit on Doughty or with Doughty back in the first round.
Yeah.
But he was announced for a long time, and he wasn't – not trying to say he's not a good, not a great player, but he's not a top six guy. He's not a scoring guy. He's not a William Karlsson or a Riley Smith or a Jonathan Marchessault or James Neal. You know what I mean?
If he has a few bad games, I'm not surprised if he's a healthy scratch.
Right.
Guy.
So, I don't know, man. Are you still confident in your pick of seven?
I'm hoping. I think it can change at any point. Obviously, at some point, I knew they were going to pick Vegas in seven. Means I knew they were going to win three. It's hard to know when that's going to happen. But Vegas is a resilient team like they've been all season. The fact that this is the first time they've lost back-to-back games and they are in the final, that just kind of shows you how good this team can still be. So I think they got to notch it up, go to another gear. I'm wondering if anyone's injured, but with the exception of Neal scoring in game two, it hasn't been any of the top line guys. And that top line is the thing that's been kind of carrying that team. They were great in game one. Riley Smith scored. Carlson scored. They were great in game one, but game two, Neal was the only one that scored. And then I think the fourth line scored. Theodore scored, so the defenseman. And then in game three, it was the fourth line on a Holtby turnover. So those guys got to get going. They got to get some speed because they have looked kind of slow at times, and particularly game three. So long way to answer your question. Yes, I still think this can go to game seven. I think if it's in Vegas and it's game seven, I think Vegas wins it.
I think it's over. Yeah. I think the Caps are going to wrap the next two.
If they win the next game, then it's really hard for me to think Vegas is going to overcome that.
Then Ovi will become the first Russian captain to ever hoist the Stanley Cup.
Yep.
And probably the first Russian, but he's probably
the first Russian.
No, but like to get Conn Smythe. Like I'd have to look at that.
Oh, no.
But
no.
I'm sure someone's had to have gotten it somewhere.
Fedorov maybe somewhere, I would think.
Probably.
Yeah.
Maybe we're wrong. Maybe it's always been Canadian boys or American boys. But, yeah, it's great to see, man. I love this final. I think game four tomorrow is going to be insane because you're going to see a Vegas team that's going to come out and try to be possessed. I feel like they're going to come out and get on the scoreboard early because that's what they've been doing all playoffs, is they've been scoring first.
Be interesting to see leading up to it if Vegas is, at least their players, if the tone changes to more of a we need to win, more serious versus the, I want to say lackadaisical, but the loose attitude or feeling that's been within the club, because both teams I noticed going into the final super loose, everyone's just having fun, and that's been working for them. And but now Vegas is kind of almost in a hole, and if they get to that point, I mean, it's be interesting to see how the demeanor changes on the team.
It's first time they've lost back to back.
Yep. Let's see if so I'm also hard pressed to see them lose three games in a row, because I don't think they've done that since like the middle of the season. Yeah. So the middle of the season, somewhere in there. So, and that's, that's going way back. So they don't lose in bunches. They lose periodically.
So the Caps lead the series 2-1. Game four is tomorrow night in DC.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about Vegas some more.
Okay.
Just because the salary cap, Gary Bettman came out and talked about it's, the league address. It could be up to $80 million, which would be a $5 million jump.
That's good because it's usually like 2 to 4, maybe.
So, yeah, $5 million is a good deal, and it's based off revenue. So, and then the NHL players could, if they decide to use whatever I don't want to get in the terminology,
escrow.
A cap inflator to raise it another $2 million. Okay, the max would be 82, but the players generally don't want to use the inflator because of escrow payments. If the cap goes up organically, like it already is, like they're talking about it going to be up to $80
million. Yeah.
So Vegas is going to roll into next season being under the cap floor. They don't even have enough money to hit the minimum.
They've got to take on some salary.
They have lots of players they need to bring on.
Question, do you think with the jump going up $5 million and projected to go up $5 million, that's because revenue is better? And do you think because Vegas has done so well and that is now another team that adds revenue to the whole pot, that's why maybe the salary went up?
Yeah, I feel like that's the case. Plus, the parity in the league. I mean, you're talking about teams in the NHL that weren't in the playoffs last year that went deep. I mean, the Jets, no one thought they were going to be this team. We've been talking about them being that team.
Yeah.
The next thing you know, they show up.
Yeah.
No Blackhawks.
Yeah.
That's another big thing that happened this year. No Hawks. The Kings bounced early. The Ducks bounced early. I mean, the Sharks bounced in the second round. So teams that we've seen that go deep consistently just haven't been around.
Yeah.
So now you have an influx of new teams and new fans that you get a chance at it, plus Vegas. Vegas is the story.
Yeah.
But that's we'll take a minute to bash basketball for a minute.
Yeah.
any time. I mean, LeBron James, 8 years in a row, he's in the finals.
Yeah.
That's stupid.
On different teams.
That's stupid. Yeah. And this last 4 years, the same two teams are battling.
Yeah. Yep. The Golden State Warriors up San Francisco way, and then Cleveland Cavaliers. So
who cares?
I'm sorry.
Like, who does anyone watch these games? That's, I mean, I don't know.
I don't,
unless
you're into
them.
Basketball, but basketball people don't watch hockey.
I mean, but how boring is it? The same people in the finals over and over and over and over and over again.
NHL's been that way for a while. You know, well, it had been until, you know, now with the salary cap era, this is what's going to change everything. And yeah, I mean, there's, I guess with the NBA, they kind of have that thing where players like to go and make super teams.
It's so dumb.
I know. So, but they used to do that in the NHL. Everyone would go to Detroit or Colorado back in the 90s and try, you know, get on their super team. And they're Chicago or, you know, Pittsburgh. So it's not uncommon, but yeah, it's definitely not fun unless you're one of those two teams. Then it's fun. But
LeBron
yeah.
played all 48 minutes of one of the, I think it was game 7 of the last series or one of the, I don't know. I don't sure. know what game it was, but I heard he played the entire game.
Okay.
That's dumb. Like, well, if a guy could just, it's one of the most individualistic sports, right?
Well, that's why I
and
don't
that's what
particularly
it's become
like
that
it.
Way. It used yeah. to not be that way because no. back in the day when I didn't hate basketball,
Showtime
we'd watch it at my house.
Yeah, the Lakers. Or
Magic. Well, my dad, we'd always watch Michael Jordan. We yeah. always watch the Bulls.
Yeah.
I just felt like it was fun to watch, and now it's always about like it's all about LeBron and his yeah. 8 times. I think that's great. He's an insane athlete. I don't want to rip him that bad, you know.
Even though you are,
but right. no, I'm not ripping him okay. so much as the league. There's no parity in the league. That's why I think it's boring.
Well, that which league do you hate most? Because it sounds like you always hate the
it's close.
NHL more than
like
you hate
I like the NBA's marketing and yeah. how they market their, you know, their all their organizations and their players.
Uh-huh.
And then I hate that there's no parity in that league. Yeah. And then I look over at the NHL and it's kind of like, I love the league, but it's a really dumb league. They just do some really dumb stuff. And they don't know how to market their league at all. The fact that cap is still below $100 million is insane.
Yeah.
Really, how did that happen, Gary? Because you don't market any of your teams. You don't let your players be individuals, and you want talking robots on TV. It's yeah. like, I mean, the NHL's dumb, too. But
all right, well, fun little road. So back to the salary cap.
Yeah, salary cap. Vegas. I had to go off on basketball. Yeah. I thought that was really stupid. When I heard, when I heard that, I was like, what the hell? How does somebody go to the finals 8 times in a row?
Yeah.
It makes no sense.
I mean,
there's
he's
no
good.
Parody. He's probably the best player ever at basketball, yeah. period.
Whoa. You're gonna upset some purists here.
Maybe. I got all the Jordan Kobe fans, I know.
Yeah.
But no, the salary cap going up for Vegas, they're not even gonna hit the salary cap floor, meaning they have to take on salary to even start the season.
Yeah.
So this is why I feel like cup or bust for Vegas, it's not gonna matter. I feel like people say that they need to win the cup. Yeah. It's not gonna matter. It's not going to matter. They have all of this going on for them. Look at everybody who cares about this team.
Yeah.
They're selling out constantly. They're competitive without, I guess you want to call elite players. Yeah. But I think they have some really good players on their team. Yeah. But you're looking at contracts that they're going to be able to swoop up and pick whoever they want.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty damn enticing to go play there. No state tax. Yep. Right?
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, not only that, not only is it Vegas, and, I mean, what can't you do in Vegas? And then, playing under the coach Gallant, everyone
loves
him.
That's a huge part of it.
Yeah.
Huge part of it.
I mean, so, you know, if you're going to that team, you're going to have fun. It's going to be kind of freewheeling as far as the offense goes. He kind of lets the reins off and lets the players, you know, kind of be there. I mean, there's structure there, don't get me wrong, but it's far more. I see a lot more of these little tap passes and quick little moves that a lot of times coaches would just ream you on, even if you were successful in it, you know, that you're not protecting the puck well enough. And if it turned over, that could have cost us something, and just a little bit sometimes of overcoaching. So for whatever reason, the atmosphere, or what's that Boston term they always like to use? The culture. The culture in Vegas is a fun one and enticing for players to go, and that comes from the head coach all the way down to the fans, the really stupid, cheesy intros, but everyone's just kind of having a good time. And don't give me that look.
No, I mean, okay. You're going to pass the intro. Okay.
All right. They can sign big money next year. They've got a ton of draft picks on top of that. So they could even maybe trade draft picks and get someone who's got a really high – I'm thinking they got to do something on defense.
They were so close to getting Erik Karlsson at the trade deadline.
Yeah.
They were one prospect away. The rumor was it was Cody Glass, which is like a highly touted prospect that Vegas has.
Yeah.
That – they didn't want to give up to get Erik Karlsson. Yeah. Like, you're asking for that. A little too much for us. So,
yeah. But, yeah, at that point, who knows? They might even get Tavares. I mean, there's
so
much.
Can you imagine
if they
have the room to sign both? Uh-huh. They just do. They're going to have $30 million in cap space.
Just
about.
To F around with. take it to the casinos.
And there was a story about
make it $60 million.
Elliot Friedman told on Puck's on 31 Thoughts, the podcast, and he was talking about Gerard Gallant. He was like, there was a story where he was the assistant coach in Montreal to Michel Therrien. And Michel Therrien, I guess, a player, he come to the bench and was like, you tell him, like, ream him. Like, he screwed up on the ice. And so Gerard pulls him to the side and he was like, just nod your head and, like, look like I'm yelling at you. Like, nod your head. He's like, you made a mistake. It's fine. Yeah. Let it go. It happens. But just, if he asks you, did you tell him? Yeah. I understand. Like, he just was totally just making it, you know, about the player. Like, hey, man, you made a mistake. Don't worry about it. Get back out there and do it again. It's fine.
Yeah, the only time I can see starting to yell at players is if they keep making the same stupid mistake. But, I mean, if someone, you know, makes a mistake, especially at that level, they know. They know they screwed up. They've been playing this game long enough. You know, yelling at them and trying to beat them down, it doesn't, in my opinion, it doesn't really help in any way. If you really want to punish the player, make him do more laps than the rest of the team. You know, maybe that's some sort of thing, but don't do in-game, you know, screaming at somebody. It never made sense to me. When I'm on my team playing beer leagues and someone makes a mistake, I'm never, you know, dude, you got to pick your game up, unless they do it all the time. They're
it's
not
like,
moving
dude, what are
or
you
something.
Doing?
Yeah, well, that's beer league. And
yeah, it's beer league. No one's getting paid in beer league.
Yeah, it's like, you know, once they're at that level, I think they know when they screw up. So
I just think it's cool. Everyone always talks about that. They always talk about how they're allowed to play hockey. Mm-hmm. It's not. There's a lot of overcoaching that goes on in the NHL where, hey, at a certain time, and we all see it in Anaheim, hey, at a certain point in the game, you just shut down.
Yeah.
Shut down, stand on the blue line.
Yeah.
We're not playing offense anymore. At like the 10-minute mark of the third period, yeah, we're done playing. We have the lead. Yeah, we're not going to play hockey anymore.
And it's weird. It doesn't seem like it even works all that great anymore.
No, it's horrible. It's You're like, just like waiting for something to happen at
yeah,
that point.
Yeah, it's prevent defense. All it does is prevent you from winning.
Yeah, I mean, you got to score goals to win a game, and if you keep letting them in, I mean, eventually it's not going to work out.
If it was working for 50 minutes, why not do it the last 10?
I just don't get it. So overcoaching is a serious problem in the NHL, and being able to play for a guy that lets people play and is a player's coach, but obviously knows how to win. Well, I don't know what the hell Dale Talon was thinking, you know, or that organization in Florida firing him. Getting rid of Riley Smith, getting rid of Jonathan Marchessault, so it's kind of like, okay.
Yeah, and we remember at the time they were saying kind of that same thing as Boston. It's not the direction we want our organization to go. We have differences. So
stupid.
So they told him to pack his bags while he was in Carolina.
Yeah, here's a cab.
You're not coming back with the team.
That's the image I have of that guy. Every time I heard Gerard Gallant, I always think of him getting in the cab.
Yeah.
There's a picture someone caught right there.
Yeah. You got to do like one of those memes. If you can't handle me at my him getting into the car, you can't handle me at and him holding the Stanley Cup.
Oh, can you imagine? Yeah, that's a good meme. You ruined it. Someone else is going to do it.
Well, you know, I give ideas away.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's trademarked now.
I'm too lazy.
I think you actually wrote this down and mailed it to yourself, and that's the only way you trademark things, right?
Yeah, right.
It's totally legit and legal.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I remember it. Yeah, that's a little.
It's not?
Oh, I thought it was.
No, it doesn't work.
I think you're lying to me, so you can
email
it
to
yourself. Look, I posted it.
I'll just email myself right now.
Yeah.
No, that's great. So, do you think they even have a chance of getting somebody like John Tavares?
You know how they do the
Old Canadian boys.
They do the intro that's over the top, and they make a splash. They're going to do it here. I think they're going to try and get the biggest name they can, and you know, sign them, even if it's giving them $10 million. They got 20 more million to spend anywhere else they want to. They've got draft picks, you know, up the wazoo, as they say, the kids say. So they've got, I don't see why they wouldn't, unless they, you know, well, hey, we did it with a lunch pail crew last time. Let's do it again this time.
No, I can't imagine that's the case.
I can't, because I don't think you're going to surprise teams necessarily as much. But hey, teams know what to expect anyways, and they still couldn't stop them. So.
Right. I feel like Erik Karlsson's the one that they're really going to – I think they should push to get anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously – I mean, who wouldn't want him on their team?
The franchise
player. I mean, everyone should push to get him. But, I mean, realistically, Vegas has all the money available.
They get Kovalchuk coming back too?
Can you imagine if they got Kovalchuk too?
Kovalchuk said that the main thing that he's doing about coming back to the NHL is winning. He wants to win.
So why the hell is he talking to the Rangers?
I don't know. They're going in a new direction, I guess. But they
just offloaded all their players.
They did to make room for Kovalchuk. And then what if Kovalchuk signs and then demands a trade to Vegas?
Yeah, what is he, 34?
Yeah. What's he going to do, that retiring thing that he did with the Devils?
Yeah. I'm
going to screw over another New York area team.
Why would he want to go back there?
I don't know.
To win? The Rangers aren't good anymore.
No, I think they were. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if they're going full rebuild mode or whatever. But
I would be thinking. I think
Kovalchuk should go to Vegas.
Him and Erik Karlsson.
Yeah, and Tavares.
Oh my god,
that team is so stacked.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. As Ducks fans, we're like hoping this all happens.
Yeah, I know. It's not
in
our best interest.
Best interest to think those things.
But
I think that's great, man. That they're going to be able to be successful coming up, and that's the other problem people have. They're all upset about the draft rules. They're all upset about it. Okay. Anyone who's upset about the draft rules, the way it worked out for Vegas, you and I went over this last show, and I banged on people for that. And they're all worried about Seattle. Yeah. It's not going to happen again. Like, the same rules are going to be there.
Yeah.
But these DMs aren't going to be duped again. It's just they're not going to get duped, and they're going to figure it out.
Yeah, I think this is kind of, you know, that not only the rules were a little bit more in favor for Vegas than it will be for any new expansion team, likely Seattle. But yeah, I think they'll learn from their mistakes. I think their strategy will definitely change, and also how they sign contracts and who they give the no movement clauses or no trade clauses to is going to kind of factor in, because now they're literally looking in 2 years, they're going to have to do it again. So I think now you'll start seeing a lot of those signings go in a different direction. They're going to really be picky about who they're going to give those no movement clauses to.
A lot of players, I think, with the contracts we're going to start seeing, we started seeing a couple seasons ago, they're going to give a lot of bonus money, because bonus money is guaranteed.
Yeah.
So even through lockout, until that, like, hey, got paid.
Until that loophole's closed, I'm sure. The next salary cap bargaining.
The CBA agreement. People can opt out of in 2 seasons.
Yeah.
One more thing before we roll. Phil the Thrill having problems with the hot dogs in Pittsburgh.
Not salty enough?
I guess not. So word on the street is that he's not being shopped, but management has made it clear that they're listening to offers.
Yeah.
92 points last season.
Crazy, right?
Crazy.
Yeah.
Didn't perform all that great in the playoffs, but it's, you know, hard to expect the best out of the same person over and over and over again, right? Eventually they're going to have a down year.
Yeah.
He's apparently butting heads with with Sullivan, the coach. Yeah. So that's not a good thing. And apparently Sullivan has, as I read in the article in The Athletic, almost all the power in the world to get rid of him. Yeah, just because that guy's come in there and worked gold back-to-back Stanley Cups.
Still, you know, almost could have gone to Eastern Conference Final this year, so.
Yeah, so what do you think about the opportunity that lies ahead?
He's going to Vegas. there's a possibility on there too.
Yeah. How much you guys want to pay me? I put up 92 points. I'll play on your top line.
Yeah,
let's do
for
it.
Sure. And think there's so many good hot dogs in Vegas. So I mean, you know, time will tell. You know, rumor this, rumor that, until it happens. But I mean, it makes sense. Pittsburgh's kind of got some good young talent in there, and
just not on the back end.
Yeah, and it's a little bit tough, too, with how do you drop a guy who puts up 92 points?
Trade him for something big. I mean, you're always going to get less in your return when you trade a guy like that. He's a little up in age. He's like 30 or 31.
Yeah.
I thought he would either go to Chicago or New York, because they both have really good hot dogs.
Yeah,
so right. I think he could go to L.A. for the Danger Dog outside of Staples.
Yeah, well, if he's gonna stay true to his nickname, or not nickname, but the persona that's attached to him, first he'll sign 1 year with Chicago, test the hot dog market, and go back over to New York.
Chicago dogs are pretty good.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never had one.
New York street dogs are better.
I've only landed in Chicago on my way to Indiana.
Ooh,
that's fun. Yeah. You didn't know there's what was I gonna say? There was one of those people. Man, I'm off today. But what are those old timey people that don't use electronics of any kind?
Oh my god!
What are they called?
I don't know what they're called. I don't know what you're trying to say.
They're Amish people.
Wow, where was I gonna pull that out of?
I don't know.
What are those old timey people that don't use electronics?
It almost has,
like, okay, my grandpa. I don't know what you're talking about.
It literally has almost nothing to do with what I'm talking
at
about.
All.
So we'll just move on. It was just something that was going to annoy me, and so I was going to let it annoy you.
Let's put it on a duck spin.
Okay.
So Phil the Thrill comes to Anaheim.
Not
could that
happen.
Work? Could it work?
Absolutely not. Not with the salary cap.
Nope.
No.
Right? Not at all? You couldn't think they could figure out a way?
No, and to make way to have that happen, they'd have to move out pieces that I'm sure they're trying to get better with.
Coveted defensive prospects that I'll never part with.
I mean, the only other way is if Kessler is out for the season, then that frees up some money to possibly sign him, but it's not long term. And I don't think Phil's going to go somewhere where he can.
He's not coming in.
Yeah.
He wants to win, too, right? He is not done winning.
Yeah.
So maybe he'll meet Kovalchuk and Eric Karlsson and John Tavares in Vegas, and they'll max the cap out there.
It sucks. If he was a taco guy, then he'd totally come out here.
Yeah, he'd definitely go to L.A. or Anaheim. Yeah, that's where he would be.
We got good tacos here, so.
No, perfect. You got anything else for the show today, sir?
Absolutely not.
So we are done. Put a cap on it.
All caps.
So game four tomorrow.
Yes.
And then game five on Thursday.
Season's almost over.
Could be over. When is game six?
I don't know.
Let me look that one up.
You do that. It's kind of bittersweet when it gets to this point of the Stanley Cup Final. It's coming to an end.
Then we take a quick month break, mid-July to August.
Yeah, mid-August. Dog days of summer.
Yeah, we tried running shows back in the day. It's just like, I can't do
There's
it.
There's nothing there.
There's nothing going on.
Maybe we'll do, I don't know, a Wheel of Fortune to honor Peter.
Why are there
Peter
so many
Sadek?
Damn days in between games?
I don't know.
Holy hell. So... Game four is
tomorrow. I assume logistics and the fact that they can't, like, the arenas probably don't know if their team's even going to be there. So they're already kind of booking out. And now the NHL has to try and
work things around. Dude, game four Monday.
Don't get mad at me.
Nothing Tuesday, nothing Wednesday. Game five Thursday. Nothing Friday, nothing
Travel
Saturday.
Days?
Sunday night is game six. So possible if they're going to game seven, they get Monday, Tuesday off, and they play Wednesday.
I'm thinking maybe it's a travel thing.
Yeah, it's got. I mean, maybe, right?
Well,
I mean, they're going pretty far.
Well, because they had the game one, day off, game two. Then they had to travel. They had 2 days off, played last night. They get 1 day off, and once again, it's still in Washington tomorrow, and then they get 2 days to travel, train, and then it's two days, right?
Dude, so it started May 28th. It's going to go
playoffs?
Over 2 weeks.
Oh.
The final's going to go over 2 weeks to play seven games.
Yeah.
So if we do a show again next week, we're going to do a show.
Sunday
will
be right before game
six. Damn.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll have to wait until after game six is over to do it.
All right.
Sunday night. That we can do. It's relevant. I hate doing a show
unless you're busy with work.
I don't work until the 19th. Thanks.
I know.
Thanks for that.
You're welcome.
Yeah, no paychecks till July. Woo. All right, guys. That's enough of us blabbling and trying to make the most out of a podcast that didn't have enough to fill an hour. We almost hit an hour anyway.
Yeah, we did.
But you know where to find us on thegruelingtruth.net. I forgot to give that shout out in the beginning of the show, but go to gruelingtruth.net. That's where you can find everything for podcasts, blogs, and sporting articles.
Mm-hmm.
And you can find us there too. Go there, download our show, hit us up on iTunes, give us a review, and we'll talk to you guys on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter as well. Hit us on those social media posts, and join the fun. Talk to you guys next week.
Bye, guys.